Well, good morning. Welcome to MGF Live. We're going to wait for people to join us. It is now just about 11 o'clock. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. We're going to wait for people to join us. That's a few people coming in now. Good to see you guys. Welcome to MGF. Quite a nice morning this morning. A little bit of blue sky there. That's just gone 11 o'clock. People starting to come in now. Good morning, Chris. Yes, blessed, highly favoured, deeply loved. Amen. I agree with that. Good morning, Michelle. It's good to see you. A few people starting to join us now. I'm just enjoying my coffee before we start the service. Keep lubricated, amen. There's a few people coming in now. If you see me looking up to the right, I'm looking to see the icons of people joining us. I think I can see Pauline and Steve there. That looked like Sean just coming in. Welcome, guys. Welcome if you're just joining us. Hello, Sean. How are you, sir? Good morning, Stuart. I'm assuming Corrine and Fiona are with you. Morning, guys. Slightly different setup this morning, you'll see. I'm in my study instead of in my sitting room. Slightly easier to do it in here, we think. We're going to see how this works this week anyway. That's almost 2 minutes past 11. We'll start very soon once a few more people arrive. It's just like normal church, this, isn't it? People coming in late. Yes, Stuart's blessed, highly favoured and deeply loved as well. Good. Nice to see you're not all forgetting about that. What we say at MGF when we start. Doesn't matter what's going on out there, folks. We're still blessed, highly favoured and deeply loved. Amen. Good to see you all coming in and joining live. Not often we say this, is it? Live from Avis. On the metropolis of Avis. MGF Live. As you can see, I'm just filling until we get a few more people. Yes, Nunzi and the pastor drinking his coffee. Just the same old church. Amen. I'm hoping the sound is going to be okay this morning. We might have a little bit of competition. I'm watching a kid on her little electronic car driving round and round outside. Hopefully that's not too disturbing. She's away again, but she'll be back. Good morning, Pauline. I'm assuming Steve's with you. Good morning, Steve. Bless you guys for joining. So that's nearly five past. So let's start. Yes, Evelyn, the sun is coming out. Hallelujah. Nice blue sky there. I think we may have Sundar and Santi with us as well. I think I just saw their icon popping up. Sundar, Santi, if you're with us, great to see you joining us. Great to see all the good work you're doing over in Karamuru. Getting the food delivered. Okay, thank you for that feedback, Nunzi. I will stop drinking my coffee now. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's start, shall we? It's really good to see you. Yeah, good morning, Pastor Sundar. You are on. Great to have you with us, sir. Let's pray, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for this morning. Father, I thank you for the beautiful weather we've been having. Thank you for this wonderful creation. Thank you for the springtime. Thank you for the growth that we are seeing all around us. Thank you for your wonders, Father. And thank you that this morning we're able to gather together as your church. Thank you that your institution, your way of gathering the believers together is local church. And thank you that in these strange times we can still gather together as church, that ecclesia, that body. Thank you for the body this morning that's meeting together. Thank you for my brothers and sisters that are online today. Thank you for all the thousands and millions of little services that are going online today, Father. Thank you for the church coming together on this beautiful day. So we thank you that we're here. Thank you that we're going to hear your word, Father. Thank you that we are going to have the opportunity to sow into your kingdom. And thank you that we will be able to take communion together. So I thank you for this morning. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's just 6 minutes past 11. So let's get right into the message. It's so good to see you this morning, guys. So good for you to join online with us. I've got my computer open to my left here and I've been trawling through Facebook for the last half hour. So in the UK, we seem to be one of the later services that is starting. And it's just been wonderful to watch all my peers, my colleagues starting their services this morning. There is so much going on in the kingdom at the moment. Even in this, what we call lockdown or isolation, there's so much going on. And it's wonderful to see everyone getting into the technology to be able to bring the words, to be able to gather the churches together. So that's just wonderful to see. So I hope you've got your word. I hope you've got your communion elements ready for us to join together this morning. So let's just pray over the word and then we'll have the message. We will receive an offering in faith or through the internet and then we will take communion together. I'll also fill you in towards the end about what we've been doing online and what we've got planned for the next week. So if you want to join us in any of other meetings, just get in touch with me and I'll send you the details for all that we're doing. So Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that we're able now to gather around your word, able to focus on your scriptures. Thank you that you say your word is the incorruptible seed. Absolutely perfect. Perfect for what we need. And thank you, Father, that it's understanding this word that we'll see your goodness that you have provided. We'll see your goodness manifest in our lives. So I thank you for these seeds we're about to plant. I thank you for all the hearts that are hearing these seeds right now, having these seeds planted right now. Thank you for all the hearts that are going to have these seeds planted in the future as they listen online or watch on Facebook. So I thank you for these seeds that are going into our hearts. I speak out understanding right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that these seeds will germinate, they will grow, and then they will produce fruit. The fruit that we all desire in our lives. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this is the third week of my new little mini series. I don't know how long it's going to go. I don't think it'll be that long. I'm probably going to move on to from the I will statements onto the I am statements later. But that's what I've got planned. But we'll wait and see where the Lord takes me over the next few weeks. So this is the third one in looking at things where Jesus said, I will. And we've had some fantastic ones so far. We had, the first one was, I will be killed. But I will rise up again 3 days later. Essential truths for our faith. Truths that if weren't true, our faith would be worthless. But we saw Jesus said, I will, and we saw that he did. And we'll see that throughout this whole series. If Jesus says, I will anything, he does it. And quite often what we see is, in the Old Covenant, we see it being prophesied what Jesus will do. We then see in the Gospels Jesus doing it. And then in the New Covenant scriptures, we get confirmation of what he did. So that's just wonderful. If we rightly divide the word, Old Covenant, Gospels, New Covenant, we can see that all these I will statements are absolutely true and that Jesus has done every single one of them. So we're going to do another one of those this morning. Let's turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, I'm going to read from verse 29. And it's essential that we understand these I will statements. Because if we can understand these I will statements, if we get understanding of these truths, that'll help us see these the things that Jesus provide being made manifest in our lives. That's the key. The key is understanding. Just as I prayed in my prayer, the key is understanding of the scriptures. And as we understand it more, as we get a deeper and deeper, deeper revelation, we'll get more manifestation of the goodness that God has provided for us. So let's look at the scriptures this morning. It's a reasonably long passage, about 11 verses. So I want to read it to you this morning. So now you've had time to look it up. That was Matthew 15. I want to read from verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. See, these miracles, just a little aside, these miracles are a signpost to who Jesus is, who Jesus was and who Jesus is, the Son of God and God himself. So that's a signpost to Jesus. Anyway, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have we? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. There's another message, guys, that I might get into later. Jesus gives it to the disciples give it to the people, and that's the same with us. Jesus gave it to us, we give it to other people. Hallelujah. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And they took away and he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coasts of Magdala. Wonderful. Awesome account of the bountiful provision of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not the feeding of the 5,000. This is a different time, different account, different place. But here we have something very similar. And I'll kind of touch on the feeding of the 5,000 later as well. Interesting though, you might have heard me reading that passage, and there wasn't actually an I will statement. There was an I will not statement. So I'm doing a wee deviation this morning, moving away from I will to I will not. But you guys know, if we take that I will not, we can turn it around into an I will. So if we can see something that Jesus is not going to do, we can infer from that what he is going to do. So this is a really important I will not statement that we can turn round into an I will. So what's going on here then? What's going on? Well, Jesus, looking to get a bit of solitude, probably time to pray with the Father, have some time with the Father, maybe just rest, has gone up into the mountain, and loads of people have followed him. The multitudes have followed him, and many of them were in great need. We see the maimed, the blind, the dumb, is it? Yeah, the maimed, the dumb, the lame, the blind, coming with the multitude as well. And we see Jesus healing them. Wonderful. And then after that, we hear Jesus speaking. Jesus says, guys, I have compassion on these people. Real compassion. They've been with us a long time and they have no food. And then he says, I will not send them away fasting because they will be too weak. I will not send them away fasting. So what is he saying? He's actually saying, I will feed them. I will provide for them. I will provide them with food. I will fulfill their physical needs. I will give them what they need for life. Jesus doesn't want them going away feeling hungry and feeling weak and fainting on the way, passing out on the way. No, he wants to feed them. He says, I will, in a roundabout way. You know, I'm not making this up, but he says, I will not have them going away fasting, which means I'm going to give them food. I will feed them. I will find enough for their provision. I will give them what they need for life. And what we've seen in the last 2 weeks, when Jesus says, I will, he does. So he gets 7 loaves and he gets a few fish and he feeds 4,000 men, plus women and children. Because remember back then, it was the men that counted. So they accounted for the men. So 4,000 men, but also women and children. So I don't know, 8, 10, 12,000 people with 7 loaves and a few fish. And did they all just get a wee snack? Did they all get one open sandwich? Did they all get just enough to sustain them? Did they get so little that they were still hungry when they were finished? Well, let's look. Look at verse 37, people. And they did all eat. All of them ate and were filled. It says they were filled. Now, this is a great word in the Greek. If you look into it, it actually means to gorge, to supply food in abundance. They were, as you could say, stuffed. Packet full. Full to the gunnels. They were absolutely packed full of food. They had gorged on what Jesus had provided for them. They weren't just having a wee sandwich. No, they gorged. Jesus provided enough for them to gorge on the food. Over-provision is what Jesus did. Now, we all know, especially at Christmas and parties and if you go out celebrating and things like that, we all know what it's like to eat more than is required. You know, we don't actually need to eat as much as we need to eat to survive. Jesus didn't actually have to give them all that food to keep them alive, to give them their basic physical needs. But he did. He gave them so much more. He gave them so much more than was required. In fact, after they'd all filled themselves, after they'd all gorged, there were still these 7 baskets that were left. So even when the people had way, way more than they needed, there was still stuff left. Absolutely awesome provision. Just fantastic. The people were not rationed, made to eat just enough to remove the hunger pangs. Jesus just didn't give just enough to get by. Didn't give them just enough to stop them getting prideful and to keep them humble. No, he gave them more than was required, more than they needed for their basic physical needs. Even more left over. Reminds me of the time when Jesus turned water into wine. I've used this example a couple of times at MGF. Now, some of you will remember. Remember I did the calculation once. Calculated it out. If you remember, a firkin is equivalent to a Hebrew bath. The amount of water you use to have a bath at those times. And it was about 9 gallons. So that's roughly 40 litres. He's got 6 stone jars in this account when he turns water into wine. Each was 2 to 3 firkins big. So that's 80 to 120 litres each. If you multiply that up by 6, that comes to 480 to 720 litres of wine. That is more than enough. Way, way more than was required for that wedding at Cana. A huge volume of wine. And that was after most people had drunk a lot of wine already. I think verse 10 says they were already well drunk. They'd had lots and lots of wine. Jesus could have just made a couple of wee jugs. That would have been enough. But oh no, Jesus' provision is between 480 and 720 litres of wine. And as a little aside, it was the best. It was fantastic wine. That's what the governor of the meal said, remember? Oh, normally use the best wine first. Now we've got the best wine coming. Way, way more than was required. In terms of provision, it was over generous. I kind of say sometimes it's a ridiculous provision when we look at turning the water into wine. Ridiculous provision. Way, way more than was needed or was required by the people to satisfy their basic physical needs. But both these accounts are pictures of what Jesus provides for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus provides way more than we need through his finished work. Awesome. Matthew 15:32 says, I will not send them away fasting. He means I will provide. I will provide more than they need, actually, what we see the picture. I will provide more than enough for them. I will provide an excess for their needs. Now we can transfer that onto our lives. Because remember, Jesus is no respecter of persons. Jesus is exactly the same yesterday, today and forever. What he did for them, he does for us in terms of abundance, in terms of provision. So he provided all that food for them. But we get that in terms of healing. We get that in terms of joy, in terms of peace, in terms of prosperity. We get that excess. More than enough. More than we need. Some people don't seem to like that when I preach on this topic. And especially when we're talking about prosperity and abundance. Sometimes even the mildest religious person seems to get ticked off by that. But I would say to those people, well, just look at what Jesus did in the Gospels in terms of how he provides. When he provided for the 4,000, did he provide them with just a wee sandwich, just enough to get by? Or did he provide them with masses and masses of food? People, they were able to gorge themselves. So I'll let you answer that question. What about the hundreds and hundreds of litres of wine that Jesus provided? Over provision there as well for the people. Think about feeding the 5,000. Not a lot of bread and fish there either, yet he fed everyone and he had loads and loads of baskets left. Again, over provision. What about that time when the disciples were fishing and Jesus was standing on the shore and he said, throw your net on the other side, and they do. Did they get a couple of fish? No, they got a huge amount of fish. It almost took the boat down. There was so much fish, they didn't actually need all those fish. But again, he provided so much more. Awesome. What about the parable when he gives credit to the guy who makes the most money when his master goes away? Did he give credit to the guy that just kept the one? No, he didn't. He gave credit to the guy who took the master's money, used it wisely, went into business and created wealth. Jesus is not against abundance. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus providing abundance, providing more than enough. And he does that the same today, folks. All the way through the Gospels, we see Jesus providing more than enough. Lots and lots of times. If we see Jesus do that in the Gospels, why would we expect him to do anything less for us? Why would we expect just enough provision to get by, just enough to keep us alive, just enough to keep us down and not full of pride? That's what some people say. That's religious nonsense, guys. Look at what Jesus does in the Gospels. Same yesterday, today, forever. He does that for us. He's already provided all that. Amen. That's not the way Jesus operates in the Gospels. He doesn't ration his goodness. He doesn't just eke it out enough so that we can get by. No, that's not what he did. He over-provided. He always did. Now, maybe like you, I would probably be quite happy if I saw some of the spiritual blessings manifest in my life. But look at Ephesians 1:3 and see what Jesus has already given us. Ephesians 1:3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's given us all spiritual blessings already. Again, he's kind of over-provided. Most of us would be happy, would be content with some of what we need to live a life of godliness and abundance. But no, Jesus gave us more, way more than that. Look at 2 Peter 1:3. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. Again, not just enough to get by, but given us all that we need, everything that we need, and then we can have manifest in our lives. All spiritual blessings, all we need for life and godliness, not just enough to get by, not just enough to live, but leave us in poverty. Think about the prodigal son. What did he receive when he came home to the father? All he wanted was something to eat, a lowly job maybe with the father, maybe a roof over his head. He just wanted to survive, just enough to get by. That would have been enough to sustain life, wouldn't it? That's kind of all we need, basically. Just enough food to get us to our bodies to survive. Just a roof over our head, a little job maybe, clothes on our back. That's kind of all we need. But what did the father give him? Go to Luke 15. You all know this account. You'll know when we get there. Luke 15, verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father ignores it and said, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. He was given way more than he needed for survival. Way more than he actually needed to sustain himself in life. Let's be honest, actually way more than he deserved through his own actions, because he'd wasted all the stuff he'd got from his father already. Best robe, ring, shoes, fatted calf, picture of the over-provision that is provided by God the Father for us. This is a picture for us. When we're with the God the Father, when we're in relationship with him, he gives us masses of stuff. He showers us with his blessings. Not just enough to get by, folks. Not enough to scrape a living. No, no, no. Enough to have an abundant life. Awesome. Here's the key, folks. God the Father does not want us to just scrape by. Doesn't want us to have any kind of poverty in our life. Doesn't want us to just scrape by. He wants us to thrive and succeed and prosper and live in abundance, and he has provided for that through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything that we'll ever need, all provided through the finished work of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go to John 10:10. I always go there. You should have known I'd be going there next. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, Jesus Christ speaking here, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He's saying that to you this morning. He's saying that to us. I came that you might have life and have life in abundance. He didn't say, I come that they might just scrape by. I come that they have just enough for themselves. I come that they have just enough to survive until they get to that magical place called heaven. No, that's not what he says. That is not what the word of God says. I have come that they might have life and life in abundance. And do you remember what that word abundance means? We looked at it a couple of weeks ago, folks. Sorry, I'm really excited about this. Do you remember what he said, what the Greek word for abundance is? Well, I'm gonna remind you. The Greek is in the sense of beyond. That is, listen to this, superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. By implication, excessive. Excessive. Exactly what we see when he feeds the 4,000, when he feeds the 5,000, when he turns the water into wine at Cana. Always provides in excess. Oh, good stuff. That's what abundance is. That's fantastic, that description. That's what he came to give us. And that is how we are meant to live our lives, in a super abundance. Now, I'll probably go in another message later. That superabundance is not to waste on your own lusts and new stuff and all this. That's to sow into the kingdom and to bless others, to give into all good works. But we need to be living in superabundance in order to do that, folks. And that is the way Jesus Christ wants us to live. Hallelujah. That is how we are meant to live our lives. And that is what he has provided for us. Excess. An excess of healing. superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. That's what he's provided in terms of healing, but also in joy and in peace and prosperity, superabundance in quantity and superior in quality. Not scraping by, not just scraping a living, not being poor. I mean, taking vows of poverty, that's just not biblical. John 10:10, it's all about over-provision, about an excess of provision. Wine at the wedding, food at 4,000, food for the 5,000, excess provision, superabundance, super quality. That's what he has provided for you. 3 John 2, it's a bit similar to John 10:10. Above all things, he wants us to be in health and prosperity. That's an abundant life, folks. Wants you to live in that all the time. Healing, prosperity. Not just getting by, not just scraping by until we get into heaven, where it's going to be great. Absolutely. I'm not saying it's not going to be fantastic in heaven, but that's the way we're supposed to be living now on earth. And I'm going to say, even in this time, even in this silly times, strange times, we're still meant to live in abundance and in prosperity and joy and peace. Absolutely awesome. Awesome. Genesis 22:14. I said at the start that quite often when we're looking at these real basic truths, we see it prophesied in the Old Covenant. We see Jesus doing it in the Gospels, and then we see it confirmed in New Covenant Scripture. So I want to show you that in this. Genesis 22:14, it's the account of Abraham with his son, and God provides a sacrifice. And he calls him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord known as Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah will see is what it literally means, but it's translated as the Lord our provider. The Lord provided for Abraham for that sacrifice. The Lord provided that ram more than enough. You know, if we're talking about a little lamb, he provided a big ram. More than enough. Bountiful provision. The Lord provided for Abraham. He does the same for us, for you. That's an Old Testament prophecy. That's a picture we can look at and transfer onto ourselves. Old Testament prophecy, Old Testament picture of the future provision of the Lord through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Awesome. And then we see that provision being made manifest in the Gospels. We see all those accounts that I've already taken you through of Jesus showing awesome provision. And then we looked at New Covenant Scriptures where we see that confirmed. Awesome. All through the Word, guys. All through the Word, we see the Lord as our provider, and we always see excess provision, better than we need, more than we need, more than enough to get by, super abundant and superior, awesome provision in excess. I will not send them away fasting, is what Jesus Christ said. I will not see them without provision. I will not see them faint. So what can we say from that? He's saying, I will provide. I will provide for their needs, in other words. And that is the same, that's as true today as it was in the Gospels and as it was in the time of Abraham. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Through his finished work, Jesus provided all that you need for life and godliness. You already have all spiritual blessings you require. You work out that salvation already inside you by renewing your mind, leading to transformation, allowing you to live a life of superabundance. That is a fantastic statement. Let me say that again. I'm going to keep my eyes down probably and make sure I get it right. But listen to this. Excuse me. Through his finished work, Jesus has provided all you need for life and godliness. You already have all spiritual blessings you require. You work out that salvation already inside of you by renewing your mind, leading to transformation, allowing you to live a life of superabundance. That is an amazing statement. Guys, that is 2 Peter 1:3, Ephesians 1:3, Philippians 2:12, Romans 12:2, and John 10:10, all linked together in one statement. I'm not blowing my own trumpet, guys. But that is a great example of rightly dividing the word of God right there. Take all those scriptures, tie them all together, and you get this amazing truth of his bountiful provision. You've been given everything you need already. It's already inside you. You need to work it out through, out of your spirit into your flesh through renewing your mind, and you will live in abundance. That is awesome. 2 Peter 1:3, Ephesians 1:3, Philippians 2:12, Romans 12:2, and John 10:10, rightly divided together to give you an awesome truth for your life. Jesus does not ration his goodness to us. We get all his blessings, and that is more than enough. The feeding of the 4,000 that we read about at the start of this account, that's a picture of his excessive provision for us. We can look at every account that Jesus did and transfer that onto our lives. What does it mean for us? What is the picture that we're seeing here? What is the picture? What is Jesus trying to tell us? What is the shadow of what is coming? It's just awesome excess. Feeding the 4,000, feeding the 5,000, water into wine. Awesome. Guys, you know I love my family. I tell you that all the time. And you know I do a lot of the cooking in our house. Yeah? Now, it's not often my family go away from my table hungry. Why? Because I cook more than we need. Why? Because I want to fill them up. I want to satisfy them. I want to provide for my family. We have a big joke in our house. I can't remember that. I can't remember this. There's some country and western group that the girls like, and they sing this song about cooking too much for dinner. And they're always singing that about me. Drowdy's cooking too much for dinner. I always cook in excess. Why? Because I want to provide for them. I want to leave them satisfied. Now that's just me. That's just me wanting to do that. But how much more does Jesus want to do that? Jesus loves my family way more than I do, way more than I ever could. I want to provide an excess for them. So Jesus wants, he's got that feeling so much more. He wants to provide an excess for every single one of us, for his family. We've been adopted in his family, remember? So he wants to provide for us. He died for us. He gave up heaven for us. He's done so much more than I can ever do for my family. His love is way, way more pure and higher and deeper than human love. So his provision is way, way more than we could ever do. I will not send them away fasting. I will not leave them lacking. I will not let them faint. What does that mean? That's Jesus saying, I will provide. I will meet their needs. And then we see all these pictures when he overprovides. Every single time, overprovides. Excessive provision. Guys, we need to get that in our noodles. We need to understand that. He doesn't just want us to scrape by. He wants us to thrive. To be a success. To be able to give unto all good works. Awesome provision for us to do that. I will provide is what Jesus is saying. And we see that in the Gospels. A picture of what he did for us through his death, his burial, his resurrection and his ascension. What a saviour. What a provider. I want you to go away from this message today knowing that Jesus is saying to you, I will provide. You know, we could really get technical about the theology of this when he's actually saying, I have provided. But he wants you to live in provision. He's provided for that provision. I will is what he's saying. You have a need in your life. Will Jesus provide for it? I will is what he's saying. That is just awesome. Want you to understand that he's provided and provided all that you'll need and actually provided more than you'll need. He's provided in excess. Excess to allow you to live a life of godliness and a life in abundance. And it's an understanding of that, folks. A true understanding of that truth. A heart knowledge of this. Epinosis. that you will see that provision made manifest in your lives. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that message has blessed you as much as it blessed me as I preached it. I was really blessed as I was preparing for this. But see, when I was speaking it out and hearing it with my own ears as I'm speaking it, man, that blessed me. His provision is bountiful. You know, so much wine, so much bread and fish that we saw in those pictures. And it's like that for us in terms of healing and prosperity, acceptance, joy, peace, love. He's provided all those in that, what was the meaning of abundance again? Superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. Oh, that is awesome. I need to go on to receiving the offering and taking communion. I'm just going to preach this message all over again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to say thank you again to those of you who are still giving into the ministry. As I say every week, we still have commitments to meet. We have local charities that we give to. We have charities further afield that we give to. We have ministries that we sow into. And I want to keep those going in this difficult time, especially over in India. I want to be able to keep that work that we're all doing, that we're contributing to our work in India. I really want that to continue. So in order to do that, folks, you know I've preached on this before, in order to do the works of the ministry, we do need funds. So I would ask you, please, I think it was Stuart that suggested the first week, keep that envelope and put a little bit of cash in it, and then I'll collect it from you as soon as I can. But for those of you that are giving through the Bax transfer system, that's fantastic. I would encourage more of you to do that. That would be great. Very easy to do. Just go online and sow into the kingdom. So I'm going to receive an offering in faith. And yet, amen, we're shouting, Sundar. We need to keep the work in India going. Hallelujah, brother. So I'm going to pray over this offering and pray in faith that we're receiving it. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for all that you have given us. I thank you for the bountiful provision that you have provided for us. I thank you that you've given us all we need for life and godliness. I thank you that you've given us all we need to live life in abundance. I thank you that you have given us what we need to give unto every good work. I thank you for the good works that we are sowing into from this ministry, from this church. I thank you for the good works that as individuals we're all sowing into as well. But I thank you especially for the works that we are sowing into from MGF. And I thank you for the cheerful hearts that are giving into the church to give out to those ministries and charities. So, Father, I thank you for this offering that we received this morning. I thank you that we will use it wisely. I thank you that we use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. We're going to take communion in a moment. Take that together. But before we do, I just want to tell you a little bit about what we've been getting up to at MGF and what we've got planned for the next week or so. So we've still been meeting every day for communion, not just for communion. We've been having fun and fellowship, a few jokes, a few riddles, things like that. So we're getting together just to encourage one another every day. You don't have to come in every day. Come in as and when you want, but that's available there every day. If you want to get together with some of your brothers and sisters and see each other and chat, and then of course we take communion. If you've not been part of that, just message me with your email address and I'll add you onto the mailing list. You also need to be on that mailing list if you want to take part in our Thursday evening Bible studies. We've had three now, live Bible studies on Zoom as part of this lockdown. We are working our way through, sorry, I thought I had the book there. Yes, I do. We're working our way through Caris Healing University. We've had three lessons so far. We're on lesson four on Thursday evening. That's at 7:30. If you want to join that, again, get in touch with me through Messenger or email. And I'll send you a link to the material. And then we'll look through it together and discuss it on Thursday evening. We had a quiz night on Friday night. That was good fun. Probably try and have another one soon. I'm also looking into having an online conference. We had some bad news, not unexpected news, but we had some bad news during the week that Brother Paul can't travel out of Singapore to us in the middle of May, so we won't be having those meetings, that conference at Langbride. But we're hoping to maybe do an online conference. So watch out on MGF website or Facebook page to see as and when that develops. So there's lots going on. If you want to be with us over the coming weeks on our daily communion or on our Bible studies or on any other events that we organise, just send me your email address and I'll put you on the mailing list. So let's take communion together now. Let's finish our meeting by taking time to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've done that already during the message today, but it's lovely during communion to focus on what he did for us, to focus on the Son, not to focus on our sin, but to focus on the Son, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We see that in Luke, and we see that in 1 Corinthians. Do this in remembrance of me. Not a word about regurgitating all your sin, about confessing your sin. No, that's nothing to do with communion. Communion is a celebration to focus on Jesus and remember what he's done for us and what we have through him. So let's take communion together. So Father, I thank you for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the symbol that allows us to focus on his body, broken so that we might be made whole. Hallelujah. Broken on the cross so that we can have wholeness in this life. Praise Jesus. So Father, we thank you for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for the symbol of his shed blood. Blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. Blood shed to bring your peace to mankind. Blood shed to bring about reconciliation of mankind to you. Father, I thank you that through your blood, through that forgiveness, I thank you through the blood of Jesus, through that forgiveness and that reconciliation, we can come to you in relationship for salvation and righteousness. So we thank you for that possibility of salvation and righteousness for every man. Thank you, Father, that as a gift of grace through faith in Jesus, we have been saved. We have been made righteous. We thank you for that, Father. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, you are so good. So good to us. We thank you for your excessive provision through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that we have in Christ and through Christ. We thank you for all that you took from us in terms of poverty and sickness, rejection. Thank you that you all took from us, put onto Jesus on the cross. And thank you for what you gave us in return at the cross. Healing, prosperity, joy and peace. And all that goes with it. Hallelujah. We thank you for Jesus and his amazing finished work. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's been so good to have you with us. So good that you chose to come on to MGF when there's so much other stuff out there. Thank you for being with us. And praise God, thank you for everybody that's going to watch this and listen to it later. I just pray that everything really touches your heart and really blesses you. So it's been good to be with you this morning. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. If you want to link in with us, get in touch and I'll put you on our mailing list. If not, we'll maybe see you again next Sunday. We'll be live again. Live from Avis. So it's been really good to be with you this morning. Bless you all, and I'll see you all very soon. God bless. Bye now.